Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Plus when the music starts for us. Anyways, after a couple days off, we're back with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but stop by there just to see what's going on a daily basis. You never know what's going to pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I'd greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, though, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, so we had three early, early games today, Dan. We have one going on right now. So, just the finals real quick there with the winners and the losers. The Cardinals gave the Brewers their first loss of the year. St. Louis wins that game 8-4. Mike, and I'm going to butcher this, but I believe it's Mikolas picked up the win. He's the guy they brought back from Japan. Zach Davies took the loss in that game. The Tigers got their first win of the year, beating the Royals 6-1. The Royals are still looking for a win. Francisco Liriano got the win. Jason Hamill took the loss. And then the Pirates beat the Twins 5-4. The Pirates are actually undefeated. They're 4-0 this season. Jameson Taillon got the win. Lance Lynn took the loss. And George Contos picked up a save there. The game we have rolling along right now looks like they're headed into the bottom of the eighth. The Cincinnati Reds are beating the Chicago Cubs 1-0. So there you go. We are all updated. Those are all your games that are in the books and your live games. We did have two games that were snowed out. Yeah, not rained out, but snowed out. The Rays and the Yankees and the Phillies and the Mets. So I believe the Rays and the Yankees are going to make their game up tomorrow. And then the Phillies and the Mets are going to be played a little later on. What we got coming up, Dan, we got the White Sox and the Blue Jays. Ronaldo Lopez starts for the White Sox. It's Jaime Garcia for the Blue Jays. We got the Orioles at the Astros. It's Chris Tillman for the Orioles and Charlie Morton for the Astros. The Red Sox are at the Marlins. Brian Johnson gets the start for Boston, while Trevor Richards is making the start for Miami. Washington is at Atlanta. It's Tanner Roark for Washington and Sean Newcomb for Atlanta. The Dodgers are at the Diamondbacks. It's Hyun-Jin Ryu for the Dodgers tonight against Tijon Walker for the Diamondbacks. The Rangers are at the A's. Bartolo getting a start for the Rangers tonight, man. Woohoo! And Andrew Triggs makes the start for the A's. The game, I believe... No, they're carrying the other game. All right, we got the Indians at the Angels. It's Mike Clevenger for the Indians and J.C. Ramirez for the Angels. I believe, actually, yeah, that game is going to be on the number 2 Mickey Mouse channel if you're looking for that. And then we've got the night wraps up with the Rockies at the Padres. It's Chad Bettis for the Rockies and Brian Mitchell getting the start for the Padres. I thought It is the Astros-Orioles game that is on the A-list Mickey Mouse channel because the Astros are having their ring ceremony tonight. I knew they were doing something like that. So,
what's the word on the Phillies, Matt?
Snowed out.
Of course.
Yeah, Phillies, Mets, and Rays, Yankees, snowed out. There's actually a shot on Twitter of the snowman the Mets players made with them posing with it. That's how much snow they got there. So, yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, nothing you can do about it. It's just kind of the way the weather's going. So, you know, just fun stuff this time of year. So, you know, and oddly, Dan, I'm looking here that Mike, and I'm going to stick with Mikolas. We'll have to look up the pronunciation one of these days. Apparently, he homered in that Cardinal Brewer game as well.
Yep.
So, you know, he's just doing those. Maybe it's the wrong pitcher from Japan that came back. He's the guy who should be playing instead of the guy from the Angels. Oh.
Well, Ohtani didn't come back, so technically.
Yeah, technically, you are correct there. So, but since we are rolling, you know, I guess you can't really call it the first week. We'll call it the first weekend. We would have talked about this a little Friday, but being Good Friday, we were off for, you know, the Easter holiday there. Dan is going to hand out some awards. He will do a AL hitter and pitcher and an NL hitter and pitcher. So, Dan, we'll go ahead and start with hitters here. Who's your AL hitter of the week?
I'm going to go with Justin Smoke. He seemed to have the most productive weekend with a .467 batting average. I don't know the numbers. I know the numbers, but I don't know what category they go to. So, but he did go 7-for-15, and I believe he got 2 home runs with 8 RBIs.
Yeah, I can for you here real quick. Smoke hit .467. He was 7-for-15 with 2 runs scored, 2 doubles, 2 homers, 8 RBIs, and 2 walks.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you know, comparatively when you're looking at it, I don't think there is anyone who, you know, helped perform for that for the weekend. So, then, you know, going over to the National League, I really went with Adam Eaton. You know, he was 8-for-13. .615 batting average, and I believe he was another 2 home run guy. I think the hardest part was looking at the batters this weekend was there was a lot of good work coming out of the American League and not so much out of the National League.
Yeah, here I can give you Eaton's line. He did hit .615. He was 8-for-13. He was 5-for-5 in a game as well. Scored 7 runs, doubled twice, homered twice, and drove in 5. He also drew a walk. So, yeah, you know, nothing, you know, being of course, the shorter week, it's going to be a little more difficult to make the picks as we get the full weeks in. You know, guys will kindly, you know, slowly but surely kind of play out with how things went. You know, I'm sure that made it pretty tough on pitching, but let's, you know, let's jump over into the American League. Who'd you go with?
Well, you know, first off, I should have prefaced with this, but my form of tracking didn't work out as I emailed myself screenshots, but then I forgot to actually screenshot how the order of the numbers goes. I mean, obviously, you could pick out batting average, and you know, a batter goes 5 for whatever. It's easy to pick out, so. I'm pretty much on the guessing game right now, but you know, I'm gonna give you 2 for the American League just because I mean I felt like these guys it was really hard to pick them, and the only reason I went with Jose Berrios over Gerrit Cole was because it was a complete game. You know, but I know you don't make ties, but I mean this one was just too hard. You know, with these two guys, I think they both outperform themselves. And, you know, for Jose Berrios to get his first start of the season and to throw a complete game, I think it's phenomenal. I think he only had about 6 strikeouts, and he may have only gave up 1 hit. Are you there yet?
Yeah, I'm there. I got your back, man. Don't worry about it. Yeah, Berrios, he did pick up the win. He went 9 innings, gave up 3 hits, walked 1, and struck out 6. Cole went 7 innings. He got the win also. The ERA would be 1.29 for him. He gave up 2 hits, a run. It was a home run. He gave up a solo home run. Walked 3 and struck out 11. So,
Yeah, and I think he had the most strikeouts this weekend. You know, honestly, I guess it's going to be a foreshadow, but I really like guys who strike out, you know, especially getting 11 in a game. I think it's, pretty great.
There were four guys with 10, and Gerrit Cole was the only guy with 11. Mm-hmm. So there you go. All right, so we move over. We got your National League pitcher is all we have left.
You know, it was a little difficult, but I just felt, you know, kind of leading with the strikeouts again, hands down, it goes to Max Scherzer. I mean, he only went 6 innings, but he did pick up the win. And like I said, he got those 10 strikeouts and he only walked one. I don't believe he gave up a hit. Or maybe he gave up one hit. I don't know. I'll be better next
week. Yeah, I really thought you were going to pick Eddie Butler. I really thought that's where you were going with that. But,
I thought about it, but in fact, he's not a starter and he got the loss.
That's okay. You can pick relievers if they have, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, guy goes out and gets, you know, 4 or 5 saves, he's definitely the pitcher of the week. So, Scherzer's line, he did 6 innings. Yeah, Scherzer went 6 innings. He did give up 5 hits. He only walked a guy and struck out 10. So, there you go.
So, all in all, pretty interesting weekend. What was your, I guess going back from opening day, which was our last day here. Thursday was opening day. Any games that stood out to you? And can't say Ohtani because we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, that game didn't even really stand out to me. just one of those, one of those things. You know, I mean, obviously, locally here, I mean, the Cubs going 17, you know, that was kind of interesting to see. I mean, that big kind of jumping off point there. It's like, oh, okay, we're going to do this right out of the gate. So, you know, that was kind of fun. And then, you know, again, locally, you know, Matt Davidson hit 3 home runs was a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, that's always a fun thing. But, yeah, there were a lot of good performances. So, you know, it was a fun week to, kind of get back in the swing. Sadly, the weather didn't cooperate in a lot of places. So, you know, that really kind of stunk. But, you know, again, it's that time of year, and, you know, that's one of the things you got to deal with.
Yeah, now I know we still have, 150-plus games to go, but, when it comes to our local teams here, I think the Sox are going to perform a little bit, maybe just a little better than we anticipated, especially within its division, possibly. But I can say I don't know if I'm – how I feel about the Cubs and having, you know, you hope in the next 3 months or 4 months that the outfield gets together minus Jason Hayward. But I think that's going to be one of your biggest question marks for this team. I think Ian Happ will make a great leadoff hitter, but when it comes to the defensive portion of it for he and Schwarber, it kind of puts question marks up there for me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we knew that was going to be a difficult situation. So, it kind of is what it is. You know, I'm really disappointed in the way the Cubs' offenses went. You know, I mean, I could understand, you know, if you started off in the cold weather, you know, that's going to kind of get to you. But they start out in Miami, and it's just kind of like, okay, this should be a a nice little get off here. And then, you know, you're expecting, you know, to take 3 or 4 from this team, or, you know, maybe even keep them, because, you know, they are a rebuilding team, and, you know, they're not going to compete for anything. And, you know, they end up splitting, you know, and in reality, they could have easily lost 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a huge, you know, a disappointment here. You know, just locally. I mean, of course, you know, I'm sure you probably saw the highlight of it, but, you know, Ichiro made a fantastic catch that I, of course, you know, could talk about all day if you wanted me to. But, you know, I mean, I was, you know, just kind of the fun stuff. You know, it was nice to see Adrian Gonzalez get off to a good start. You know, it doesn't, from the at-bats I saw, and I didn't see a ton, it doesn't look like there's still a lot of power in his game. You know, I know he did manage a double, but, you know, he got 3 hits in his first 7 at-bats. That's, you know, a gazillion times better than he did last year. So, you know, I mean, you know, stuff like that is, you know, kind of fun and kind of nice to see. And, you know, it'd be nice if he comes out and has a really solid year. And, you know, in the American League, I hope Elvis Andrews does too, because, you know, he was one of the guys that is supposed to be a huge fantasy bust this year. And I've always kind of liked Elvis, so it'd be great if he could just kind of shove it in some guys' faces and, you know, could keep rolling right out of the gate.
Yeah, and, you know, and the other, I wanted to get your take on this too, the other games I really got to see is because they were the late nights, where the Dodgers-Giants, I mean, you know, when those series are on, it's kind of like the Yankees-Red Sox, you kind of, you know, those are the ones that you draw to a little bit more. But, you know, maybe it'll take some time, but coming out of the gate, the 3 men signed by the Giants haven't, you know, jumped off right away. Do you think it's just going to take some time adjusting and getting used to San Francisco? And, of course, I'm talking about Jackson, McCutchen, and Longoria.
Yeah, you know, I mean, is it the fact that they're going to take some time to get used to San Francisco, or they just ran into fantastic pitching? You know, Rich Hill was really good last night. Kenta Maeda was just out of his mind for 5 innings. I mean, he struck out 10 guys in 5 innings. You know, and then, of course, opening night, they faced Kershaw, who I believe the Giants win the first 2 games 1-0? you just got to wonder, as, you know, time moves along and they get some different pitching, you know, I mean, first start of the year, I'm sure guys are kind of pumped up, and, you know, you're just kind of like, yeah, okay, cool, let's go. But, you know, we'll see. Now, I did want to ask you, were you surprised to see that, I think it was 2 or maybe even 3 guys got taken out after 6 innings when they were pitching no hitters?
Yeah, you know, that was, on Saturday night, you know, I think the Cubs went into another extra inning game, and I tweeted you about a no-hitter going on the Giants. I pulled up the app on my tablet, and I was going to, you know, stream another game. So I immediately went to that, seen Johnny Cueto go to the bench, and, you know, once I got glued back on the TV, I kind of zoned off the tablet for a little bit, and then the next thing I knew, he was no longer in the game.
Yeah, he at least gave up a hit before he exited, but, like, Kyle Gibson pitched 6 no-hit innings for the Twins. And, you know, he got hooked after 6 innings. Oh, my God. Trevor Williams of the Pirates, same thing. 6 no-hit innings, and he got hooked. You know, and it was just kind of like, okay, could we maybe allow him to give up a hit? You know, Alex Wood gave up 1 hit over 8 innings, another pitcher the Giants had to face. So, you know, then I mentioned Cueto gave up 1 after, you know, through 7. Those were the guys who were kind of rolling there. So, yeah, it was like, okay, I guess we're, you know, we're pitching quite well here, so.
Well, and I don't know if it has to do with sabermetrics, stats, analytics, or team goals. You know, are we sacrificing? I know we're not, the individual awards are great, you know, at the end of the season and the end of their careers. But I feel like when it comes to pitching, when you take a guy going with a no-hitter, you're taking something away from him a little bit.
Well, you know, like Trevor Williams got yanked. I think he only had 86 pitches or something. So I don't understand why he wasn't allowed to go out for the seventh inning. You know, I mean, that's a low pitch total. I mean, you know, you let the guy go out there and, you know, see if he can, you know, see if he can at least give you another inning. You know, there were guys, you know, like Michael Fulmer and Corey Kluber both pitched great and took losses in their games. You know, it's just kind of the way, you know, Sean Manna, the same thing. You know, 7 2/3 innings, only gave up one run. The A's couldn't score for him, ended up taking a loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your guy Dylan Bundy didn't give up anything in his 7 innings. You know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, their starting rotation. Gausman didn't look very good, but Bundy looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it's just one start, so, you know, you don't know how these things are going to play out. But,
yeah.
You know, it's always nice to see – you know, how they're getting off or how it kind of goes, you know, Hunter Strickland converted both his save opportunities filling in from Melanson. So that's a big plus for the Giants.
Not for you.
Oh, so not at all.
No, you know, one thing I thought was pretty cool, and this is what I really took away and enjoyed coming from the Cubs game. I don't know who I was listening to, but with the addition of Chili Davis as their batting coach, I guess there's an emphasis coming on actually hitting the ball as opposed to, you know, just simply launch angle and trying to knock it out of the park. And there were a couple instances where the Cubs made actual hits where you tried, you know, scoring a guy as opposed to swinging for the fences. And, you know, I saw a little bit more of that last night with the Dodgers. Do you think the pendulum is swinging just a little bit back to, you know, I don't know if I guess we call it old school, where, you know, it's more about putting the ball in play and getting guys over and in as opposed to, you know, just filling your home run stats and, you know, who cares if you strike out and have a 220 batting average as long as you hit 50 home runs? I mean,
yeah, you know, I hope that's how it's going, but, you know, again, it's a little too early to tell with, you know, how teams are going to go and how it's going to kind of work out. You know, we'll have to wait and see, because I also did see some instances where I'm trying to remember, it was one of the extra inning games, because there were a bunch of extra inning games to start the year, and the guy led off with a double. And I thought for sure the next guy up with him, I thought, well, okay, he's going to bunt him to third, you know, never even squared around. I thought, okay, well, he'll try to hit to the right side then and at least move him over. Ended up grounding out to third base, so the guy didn't go anywhere. So he gave up the at-bat without being able to advance the runner. So it was just, you know, one of those scenarios where it's like, okay, well, this guy obviously didn't learn anything because he was just trying to pull the ball into the seats. And I was like, yeah, great, nice going there, buddy. You know, you could have helped your team out of here a little bit. And I believe I don't remember which extra inning game it was, but I believe that team went on to lose. So that was a really big situation there where a guy choked because he was looking for a home run. So yeah, you know, and again, like I said, you know, you can only hope these guys are learning something and they're finally realizing that, you know, as nice as it is to get the big home run numbers, you know, the main thing is winning games, especially this early, because, you know, you can get on a roll. I don't think anybody had the Pirates coming out of the gate 4-0. So,
no. No,
you know, it's just, yeah, you know, just one of those things. I mean, you can, you know, I mean, all of a sudden you get on a roll, and if you start believing things, and all of a sudden, you know, you catch a break here or there, you know, you're standing around going, wait, why, you know, why is this team hanging around here? You know, they're not supposed to be there. So, you know, I mean, you know, that's kind of the important thing is winning the game. I don't care what your launch angle is or your exit velocity, which the Cubs announcers couldn't shut up about this week. That Len Casper loves to talk about Spinal Tap. So, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, that stuff, you know, it'll never go away now because it's there, you know, and as long as, you know, Stanton continues to hit bombs, or, you know, Bryce Harper hit a bomb against Cincinnati, you're always going to hear about, you know, the long home runs and, you know, all that stuff. So,
yeah, but I mean, I think it's there when it's there. You know what I mean? When a guy, you know, Bryce Harper, you know, like you said, Giancarlo, when the home run hitters hit that ball and it goes, you know, 500 feet, and, you know, I think it's cool to kind of throw in, oh, here was the launch angle and here's the exit velocity on that. You know, just kind of give you those numbers. But using those numbers as day-to-day analytics to help guide your team in the way you want to go with it, I don't think it really is sufficient. I think it's great for the broadcasters and, you know, the people at home watching, if they even understand what the hell that means. Because, I mean, I kind of get the gist of it, but at the end of the day, what does it really, you know, matter what the hell his launch angle was for his exit velocity?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I always remember, and I think it's the second major league movie, which, of course, you know, isn't as good as the first one, but they, you know, the guy hits a bomb, and it's the goofs who are sitting in the front row, you know, the Randy Quaid character and the guys with him. And the one guy's like, too high, it's too high, you know, because it's not, you know, it's not going to go out, it's too high. And it's just a bomb. I mean, it almost goes out of the stadium. And the one guy turns to him and he goes, forget about too high, it's gone. And that's all that really matters. I mean, it doesn't matter if the ball kicks off the top of the fence and goes into the first row or you hit it 600 feet. It all counts the same.
Yeah, which there was a home run like that this week. I don't remember who it was or where it was, but it wasn't the fence. It was that little barrier. Whoever jumped up and couldn't grab it.
Yeah, well, Ichiro grabbed his, so that's all that matters.
You know? Yeah. You know, but I mean, when I brought that up about the hitting, you know, that was something I seen last night with the Dodgers where, you know, Yasiel Puig, you know, I turned it on and I watched them, and I would say it's because of me, but, you know, I ended up tuning into, I think, other games this weekend except for Thursday night. But, you know, Puig got his first hit, I believe. I think he was like 0 for 10 until last night. Cody Bellinger, I think, knocked a homer in. You know, they had a pretty good last night. They just had a pretty solid batting performance all around the horn, or around the batting order, minus the pitcher, who was mad when his bunt didn't get the guy over and he was on first, which, you know, that's obviously not the objective when you're trying to sacrifice bunt. But, you know, that was something I noticed that, and, you know, and for a guy like Puig, and just players in his category, I hope they continue to kind of maybe go that route where, you know, you should be focused more on the pitch that's coming to you as opposed to what you want to do. You know, and I know with baseball, what if you've got like less than 9 seconds to determine what kind of pitch is coming? But I mean, everything shouldn't be a home run ball. You know, he ended up taking a ball and driving it in the middle somewhere and was able to drive in a run. You know, as opposed to swinging for the fences and getting a strikeout, and now there's, you know, no RBI for him or the team.
Yeah. No, and, you know, that's what I was saying about, you know, the one guy not being able to advance the runner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get it. You got to give yourself up, and it's going to kill your batting average, and, you know, oh, no, you made an out, and you don't get the RBI, and, you know, you didn't hit the home run. But what you did is you move that guy over to third base. He's now 90 feet away from scoring. And if the guy behind you just hit the deep fly ball, now your team is in the lead. And all you've got to do is go out and get three outs to win a game. You know, and then when that team in the bottom half of the inning would have scored that run, it would have been tied and you still would have had an opportunity to continue to play. You know, but instead he tried to pull the ball wanting to hit it out of the park, and, you know, it didn't help anybody at all.
Was this Joey Gallo again?
No, it wasn't. I just can't remember. I think it was opening day when there were like three extra inning games.
Yeah,
and I can't keep
track.
Yeah, you know, well, there were like six in the first 2 days. And it was just like, holy crap. So, you know, it was like, geez. You know, and
Well, and, you know, you were just slightly off on one thing. He definitely wouldn't get the RBI, but the nice thing about, you know, you bringing up a sacrifice bunt is it's a sacrifice. So it doesn't negatively affect, you know, a player's personal stance. You know, it doesn't count in as a bat. And then, you know, he helped his team get that win, which, you know, like you said, if that runner gets over to third, the next guy knocks him in on, you know, a ground ball kind of deep, you know, deep in the infield. Now you've got the run, so the game is still tied, and now you've got that extra bat to kind of make up for that later on. So, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. And, you know, now while I don't agree 100% with a lot of the analytics portion of it, I do think you need a combination of both old and new. And I think what bothers me so much more about the new way of baseball is – these new wave people want to just completely disregard the old way, like it didn't matter, or it still doesn't matter. When you need the combination of both. Otherwise, you know, you're, like you said, you're just going to have a bunch of guys swinging for the fences at every at bat. And while it's great, but out of 600 at bats, Bryce Harper's only going to get, you know, hopefully 30, maybe home runs. What is that percentage? You know, on 162 games, you're only getting 35 home runs. You know, it's not like the kid's throwing up a home run every single game, you know, that you go to. So.
Right. I mean, even the, you know, the best home run hitters don't homer every time.
No.
So, you know, I mean, that's the, you know, kind of the way you look at it. I mean, you figure if you're hitting, you know, say you're a big power guy and you get, you get 40 homers in your 600 at bats, you know, that means you're homering about 15% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and then the rest of the time you're striking out, you're doing whatever.
Yeah.
So, just one.
The one thing I could take away from this weekend, though, which, you know, I'm kind of actually a little, maybe not so as surprised, but, you know, we're going to, me and you will start this campaign again somewhere in the middle of the season, that I'm not a fan of the three-person booth. I don't want to say man anymore because Jessica Mendoza, but I wanted to kind of get your take on it because I was actually, you know, I've always enjoyed, I believe it was with Fox that Alex Rodriguez was with over the last couple of years in the postseason. Definitely enjoyed his analysis. And, you know, for the negative rap he gets for what he did, it just amazes me the amount of knowledge that he does bring to the game. Maybe not so much amazes me, but, you know, he picks up and pulls out a lot of stuff that, you know, other players, announcers aren't really talking about. And he doesn't immediately side with and, you know, going that route. And, you know, I kind of want to get your take on what you thought of A-Rod in the booth with Jessica Mendoza. And I get why they've got Matt Fanskirjan, you know, kind of the lead, so to speak, which was definitely a change this year with ESPN. I felt like a little bit more modern. I don't know. It was just kind of fresh of breath air, kind of having that trio in there. I did enjoy it, but I think it's time to just – let the reins go and give Mendoza, just let her and one other person do it. And, you know, to be honest, I think she would do pretty well doing more of the play-by-play and letting Alex do the color commentary. You know, what did you kind of get away from some of the national broadcasting announcers?
Yeah, well, you know, I've always liked her. You know, she really – learned the game. You know, I mean, she was a fantastic softball player in college, and she's been able to transition over to, you know, learn baseball basically. And I like the fact that she doesn't try to tell guys kind of what to do or how to do it, because she realizes that she didn't play baseball. So, and it's a little different where, you know, like A-Rod, and, you know, he did this in the Fox studio last year. You know, when he was in for them with Frank Thomas, those guys were fantastic. You know, just breaking guys down and saying, look, you know, they could have done this, this, and this. And, you know, Pete Rose, even when he was still there before, I think he got in trouble again. You know, I mean, it'd be tough to find a booth with three better hitters in it than, you know, A-Rod, Thomas, and Rose. So, you know, he's always known his stuff. It's nice to see that he's getting a chance to kind of show it to a more national audience now. But yeah, I mean, has any guy recovered better from what he went through than A-Rod? You know, I mean, he was hated for how long, and now he's kind of bounced back, and he's back to being, you know, the beloved guy again, hasn't he? So, you know, but yeah, I am a little in agreement with, you know, the three-man booth can be a little goofy. Like tonight's game, they have Rick Sutcliffe in with Eduardo Perez, and I don't know who's doing the play-by-play. You know, they always have a play-by-play man in. So, well, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, it's you know, they're announcing the Astros. I believe it's their home opener, and they're going to get their rings and stuff tonight. And yeah, for the life of me, I don't think it's John Miller. They showed a shot of the booth, and I don't remember who it was. But yeah, like tonight, it's Rick Sutcliffe and Eduardo Perez. And I actually prefer Perez in the studio when he gets the chance to kind of break down film, because he's a former hitting coach, and he can kind of, you know, give you a little more insight that way. You know, I think that works out a little better for him. And, you know, you really just don't need, you know, I mean, you know, let's face it, you just don't need the three guys. You know, I mean, they, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to talk over each other. I mean, you know, it only takes one guy to make the point you're trying to make. And I just, you know, like, I wonder with, like, a Jessica Mendoza, if they're a little worried about leaving her alone, because, you know, technically she's not a former major leaguer, and, you know, I know there's been a lot of flack about, you know, when she first started doing the games, she, you know, there was a lot of stupidity out there about, oh, well, you know, she's a woman, she can't be doing the games, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, you do kind of wonder about if, you know, there's a little bit of that involved with, you know, kind of leaving her on her own with just a play-by-play guy. So.
Yeah, well, all right, turn mine up. I honestly think, you know, and this is the problem with it right now, is I think with ESPN is, you know, they made the joke that she's the senior broadcaster on Sunday Night Baseball, which she is now, you know, compared to Vasgersian and A-Rod. And I think they're still getting their feelers. So I don't think this year would be the season that they would go with it, because this is Alex Rodriguez's first year as a, I believe so, you know, kind of calling the games. But I mean, you know, what I liked about it was, I'm sure when it comes to a Yankees game, maybe it'll be a little bit different, or maybe even a Mariners or Rangers game, that he might, you know, have a little bit more vested interest in it because he played for those teams. But I mean, you know, with Mendoza, if you kind of can get her doing a little bit more of the play-by-play and some of the announcing, because I mean, what did Vasgersian really bring to the table last night? The intros and the outros, the leads. You know, when we're coming back from commercial, he's got that voice. He's got that radio, television, broadcasting voice. You know, it's very recognizable, but at the same time, it blends into where, you know, there's another guy who sounds just like him when they're on TV. And if you're not looking, you don't know which one is which. I think it's Greg Amslinger. I don't even know if I said his last name right. But, you know, their approach to it is that broadcasting sense. And I think if we gave, she had a little bit more time to focus on the play-by-play portion of it, I really think, you know, especially for Sunday Night Baseball, figuring there's only, you know, what, how many, there's 52 out of a year, so like, what, 24 Sundays or what I think, roughly, that she would be broadcasting with just her and A-Rod. I think they would be a great team. But even if it were just her and Vasgersian, either way, I don't know. I just think she'd be a good lead, or you know, even the color, whichever way you go with it, and just kind of get away from the three-person booth. They just, you know, like you said, they talk over each other. If they're not talking over each other, you know, it's like we're waiting for each person to get their 2 seconds, you know, whereas opposed when it's one or the other, they can kind of feed off of each other and know, okay, now I'm going to roll right into and go over him. But of course, you've kind of got to get that fluidity between the two. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest, when Len and JD first started, got together, there was a lot of dead air. If you remember that, Big Jack, there's a lot of dead air.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that happens, you know, I mean, you've got to, you know, got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of get used to working with that other person. And, you know, like I'm hoping tonight with being Sutcliffe and Perez that, you know, when it's a pitching thing, Sutcliffe talks about it. And then when it's a hitting thing, Perez talks about it. You know, well, but I know Sutcliffe fancies himself quite the hitter. So I always worry that he's going to try to do that.
Yeah, I believe Perez was on the Cubs game for opening day. And because he's the one whose dad played ball also, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, he's one of the guys, and I always forget his name, but, you know, when he's in there, I like him too, because, you know, his pretty much his whole life has been baseball. You know, he grew up with it. He was around it his entire life. And like you said, he brings that hitting aspect to it where he doesn't even 100% agree with all the analytics stuff. I hate when we kind of today when, you know, baseball people, we get almost lumped in as, oh, you're a baseball purist and you don't like the this and the that. You don't like the new stuff. Well, it's not just that. I just don't like the fact that all you want to bring to me is that.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a, you know, I don't have a problem with any of, you know, this stuff, but how does it help me? You know, I mean, that's always going to be my question. You know, I mean, you know, the fact that I was trying to remember, I think it might've been Javier Baez. They were talking about how he was one of the top guys in exit velocity last year when he actually put the ball in play. You know, okay, that's, you know, that's a nice little stat to throw out there. That's, you know, that's fine. Okay, blah, blah, blah. But does it, you know, did it help me in any way, shape, or form? No. You know, great. So he hits the ball hard. Thank you. You could have just said that.
Well, and, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, a lot of these writers that are proponents of it, is that what's incorporated? I mean, because with the technology we have, you could just go back and someone, I'm sure it'll be someone's business to go back and, you know, reanalyze all of Barry Bonds stuff and give us the exit velocity and all that crap. But at the end of the day, is that stuff going to be included with what they use for voting for Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, does it, you know, like, okay, well, since you used Barry Bonds, what if it came up, Dan, that say, you know, Barry Bonds' exit velocity was, say it was below average for a major league player. Does that change your mind about how good he was?
No.
You know, what if his launch angle was subpar? You know, what if he had a subpar launch angle? Does that matter? You know, what if his WAR wasn't high? What if he had a WAR that was right around 1 or 2? Does that change absolutely anything on what kind of player Barry Bonds was?
No, not at all.
Right. You know, like, that's the thing now. I mean, they throw all these stats and these analytics out there with Mike Trout. I can look at Mike Trout, watch Mike Trout play, and I know Mike Trout is a great player. I don't need you to tell me his exit velocity and his launch angle and his WAR and, you know, this and, you know, that, and what time he goes to the bathroom and what he has for dinner. I know he's a great player. So... you know, none of that stuff changes. I mean, I do think sometimes they try to use it to make you think a guy isn't as good as his actual numbers say he is. You know, and I think that's a little unfair when they kind of do it that way. You know, there's, you know, like, they kind of crapped on Jose Altuve. Like I mentioned, he really should be a 2-time MVP winner. He should have won it 2 years in a row. But they crapped on him and gave it to Mike Trout because they said he didn't hit enough home runs. But again, you know, the Astros got into the playoffs. The Angels didn't. Part of the reason they got into the playoffs was because of Jose Altuve. You know, he helped lead his team to the playoffs. Trout's a great player, couldn't lead his team into the playoffs. But there's so much love there and just so much analytics. You know, and like you even said to start this year, they've already given him the award. There's no reason for them to even have an MVP vote in the American League. Just send it to Los Angeles and put it in Trout's locker, because it doesn't matter what he does. If he does not get hurt, he wins the award. And, yeah. You know, that's just garbage.
Well, and not only that, I mean, it's one of those where we go back to LeBron James. What defines the most valuable player? You know what I mean? It's like, is the most valuable player defined by how much we really, 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 really like a guy?
Yeah. In their mind, it is.
You might as well just have the fans vote on it, because, well, it'd probably be Mike Trout, too.
Yeah. So, or it would be somebody from New York, you know, New York or Boston.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. It would definitely be Aaron Judge or somebody. But
Aaron Judge, yeah.
Giancarlo this year, but I mean, it's just, sometimes it just killed me, because I'm like, okay, I get it. We should incorporate all sides of the game, but to sit there and say, there's a book written by some jackass that just, why the old stats are killing Major League Baseball. You're telling me that knowing a batting average is killing baseball?
Yeah, well, you know, because it no longer matters, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, batting average isn't important. Like, okay, thank you. So.
Well, no, and, you know, when you look at my team, the Cubs, looking at this weekend, I mean, realistically, they, with the lineup they had, using all your analytics, they should have won all 4 games.
Yeah.
Pure analytics, they should have won all 4 games. But they didn't.
Right. Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you still have to go out and play the games. And, you know, that's part of baseball that, you know, it's almost like they want to control everything and they just don't seem to realize that you can't control the outcome. You know, like, You can't tell me that there was anything analytical that said Kenta Maeda was going to strike out 10 guys in 5 innings. Because you would be lying to me if you did. You know, they're you know, now Max Scherzer, okay, I can buy Scherzer getting 10 guys. Maeda, yeah, no, I don't think so, especially in just 5 innings. So, you know, I mean, no matter how you want to try to do it or how they want to look at it, you know, you just can't do baseball like that. It just doesn't work.
No, my brother-in-law's brother, he's a big-time White Sox fan. He you know, I mentioned him before. He, his older brother went to high school with, who was it, Tony Cingrani? I believe that, you know, him and someone else. I can't remember who the other guy was. Tanner Roark. They knew, you know, they knew both of them through baseball. And I don't know if those kids played hockey at all, but my brother-in-law's both played hockey. So, well, my brother-in-law's brothers go. But, you know, they know those guys. And he got to do one of those games where they, you know, watched the game with Kenny Williams. And, you know, he said after Kenny, you know, Williams was there for, you know, a while. But you know how it's the office. They're not going to sit out there the whole game. You know, he took off and he said he was just sitting in, you know, in the nice little booth, the seats with the analytics guys. And they're like, you don't care if we talk. And he's like, no, I don't care. And he said it was pretty cool to listen to hear these analytics guys kind of just thrown out there. Well, at blah, 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 in this position, this is what he usually does. And, you know, some of it came true, but some of it didn't. And, you know, that's kind of how I was taught with the game. I don't know about you, but, you know, that's part of the reason they kept track of the pitch count. You know, because you kind of had, I wouldn't, back then, they didn't call it analytics. You know, you got your tendencies. You know, after 85 pitches, John Lester has a tendency to do this or to do that. It doesn't mean he's going to, as analytics would tell you. The tendency means he could go that way. And I think, you know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, they still ran it that way. And it was like, well, you know, he might go this way. He might go that way. If we start seeing him go the way we don't want, then we pull him. We don't just pull him because he analytically at 90 pitches does this. So we just automatically pull him regardless of what inning it is. And I think that's what kind of gets me a little bit with the game today.
Well, you know, and that's what this, a lot of this has led to, is the fact that it's cost guys innings and at bats, you know, because of this, because like Steve Stone does it every White Sox game, you know, he'll be sitting there and he'll say, well, you know, in this situation, this guy will throw this, and then he'll throw it. Why? Because he's done his homework and he knows what the guy does and, you know, all that other kind of stuff. Well, here you go. It's just an announcer who does his work and right and knows the game. You know, here you go. So, you know, he didn't need a Sabre net metric form, you know, formula or anything like that to let you know that this was going to happen. It's just being a good baseball guy. So,
well, and I feel like some of the analytics just comes down to not even the human eye test anymore. Well, we got it on paper. We don't need to watch it.
Yeah, well, that's what it kind of reminds me jokingly of, you know, Moneyball, where the Billy Bean character is talking to the other character, and he tells him to, like, text him what happened or something. And he goes, you don't watch, he goes, I don't watch the games. Oh, okay. So, it's like, oh, okay, you know, here you go. We're not going to watch the game. That's great, you know.
I just run it. So, I don't watch.
Yeah. But I did want to ask you, Dan, one of our favorite things did happen opening weekend. They had a gigantic, super long replay in the Pirates-Tigers game. It was actually the Tigers' home opener after the rainout. And they got it wrong. It literally took 5 minutes for them to replay a play at the plate. And the Tigers should have won that game. The Pirates really shouldn't be undefeated. The guy was clearly safe. He was called safe. Obviously, the Pirates didn't have anything to lose by appealing it. So, you know, they went after the appeal process, and they looked at it how many times, how many different ways. It took about 5 minutes, which you and I both know is hugely too long. And then they went and called the guy out, and I don't know what they saw. I don't know how they saw it. I watched all the replays. There was absolutely no clear indication that the guy was ever tagged. I don't know what they saw to overturn it, but they did, and Pittsburgh went on to win the game. Dan, when are they going to get the freaking replay process right?
Well, I mean, they did take one step in the direction as the, I believe it's the home plate and the crew chief, or, you know, because the crew chief can be on home plate, but there's always two umpires now that have the headsets on. So now we've finally made one step in the direction to improving the system, and that is not pretending that these guys have to actually look at the replay and that they're just simply listening to what the guy watching the replay is going to tell them, which, you know, I guess we're taking infant steps towards improving this. But yeah, I think I've seen that. But, you know, it's just a lot to take in over 4 days to really remember which was, you know, which one was which. But that was one of the ones I do think I've seen. And, you know, there was a couple instances where I'm like, whew, that was close, and I got it wrong.
So, yeah, you know, and it was just kind of, you know, I'm shaking my head here because this was the first replay I saw. And I was like, mm-hmm. you know, they showed it right away. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, no big deal. You know, they nailed this. And, oh, wait, they're overturning this. Wait, what the hell did they see that? You know, then I looked at about five replays and I was like, yeah, I don't get it. But yeah, I just kind of shook my head and went on watching the game.
Yeah. Well, it's final once they put it out there.
Yeah. So yeah, I was just like, oh boy, you know, here we go. Yeah. But yeah, and you know, like the announcers and everything, they were just kind of like, oh yeah, you know, there's nothing on here that shows that, you know, they didn't do this or that, or, you know, he never really tagged them. You know, and that was kind of the one iffy thing was there was really no good angle to see if the tag was ever made. And I would have loved an explanation on, you know, where did you see the tag that, you know, that made you call this guy out? And, you know, but I guess apparently Major League Baseball contacted the Tigers and said they got it wrong.
But they don't, you know, so what? You didn't change anything.
Yeah.
So what, did we get a freebie the next time around? You know? one thing I did like this weekend happened last night, again, going back to the Dodgers-Giants. There was an RBI that was basically had that was produced on – bad throwing, a throwing error. I forgot who it was or, you know, which team it was even for. But, you know, the guy was thrown out at first. The thing was completely done and over with. But that batter still got the RBI, which he shouldn't have because it was basically a throwing error from the outfield. And Mendoza and A-Rod, I don't know if Vash Gersian really got in on it. They didn't badger or anything like that, but they, you know, kind of went along with what they would have scored it as. And then they go, oh, wow. No, it was scored an RBI. It shouldn't have been. And, you know, I don't know if they came back from commercial or after, but eventually the scoring was changed to reflect that it was, you know, the batter was out and then it was a fielder's choice. And I believe the batter got an error or something where the pitcher should have never, you know, been charged the earned run. So that was taken away from him. And I just thought it was so interesting and kind of nice to have people on that side that are so into the game that they know how to officially score the game. Whereas, you know, we've got guys here in Chicago who think a sacrifice bunt is when the guy bunts the guy over, but it's also safe.
All right, well, the music means it's time for Dan and I to roll out of here. But, hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this again. While we're gone, though, you know what to do. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Hit that link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed, though. Jump on and follow at SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd like. That's cool. As always, big thanks for coming out and listening live. Dan and I really appreciate when you do that. But don't forget, you can go over to TuneIn.com and listen to the podcast anytime you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.